out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, 26th of June, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live at Radio Arian. Normally, I pre-record these solo podcasts, so you're just going to have to bear with me today. I'm going to try and do it live. I would have was rather hoping to have Nat Danelaw here today, but I haven't been able to make contact with him. I hope he's okay. He wasn't here last week, but I do think that actually coincided with Denmark playing in the World Cup. So hopefully he's all right, whatever he is up to. I've got some other news to do with Radio Arian as well. At the moment, some of you may have noticed that Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson's site is down. That's rushjournal.org. What we've managed to do is repoint it towards the Orthodox Nationalist archive that we have, where we have volume one of the Orthodox Nationalist. All the links are available there. That's the series that he did on the Voice of Reason Network. So you are still able to access that site. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. Either rushjournal.org will be back up, or we may end up putting all the articles and all the information that was on there, we may end up putting it on the WordPress site. But things are in hand, and you will be able to access his work again soon. And of course, we'll have a new episode of The Orthodox Nationalist on Wednesday. Well, looking at the news today, I mean, we've got lots and lots of lots of things we can get into. To start off with, I think maybe we could talk a little bit about Algeria. Now, I've been wondering why it is that these so-called refugees that get picked up just off the coast of Libya, why they are being taken hundreds of miles to Europe when we've got plenty of ports along the North African coast that they could be dropped off at. We've got Tunisia, we've got Algeria. These countries, they aren't actually at war. And Tunisia, British people go there on holiday still. There was a terrorist attack there a while back, but they're not actually at war or anything like that. So why aren't these refugees being taken there? If Libya is a supposed war zone and they cannot be taken back to Libya, then why aren't we taking them to Tunisia or Algeria? And looking at a news article today, it seems that Algeria they've got the right idea on how to deal with these refugees. They won't let them get to the ports. They pick them up, they put them on trucks, and they take them to the outskirts and they point them back in the direction that they came from. And apparently they've done this with 13,000 over the last year. They've just driven to the outskirts, pointed them back in the right direction, and sent them on their way back home again. Apparently, there's great herds of Negroes that are just grazing across the deserts there in North Africa. And eventually, the UN catches up with them, and the UN actually pays for flights for these beggars to go back to their own countries. So it's not like, you know, they're going to be treated very badly when they're actually in Africa. They just get told to go home again, and then the UN picks them up and actually pays for them to be sent back to their own countries. There isn't any war in Tunisia. There isn't any war in Algeria. So this is the reason why they're not taking them to Algeria, these boats, is because they know that they'll just be sent back home again. Because the plan is to flood Europe with non-whites and wipe out the white race, and they're doing a very, very good job of that at the moment. There's also a study that's just been brought out which proves that the European population growth is now driven entirely by non-whites. We've known for quite a while now that we're not actually producing enough white people to replace ourselves. We're not producing enough children to replace the people that are already here. And the actual growth in European countries, the population growth, is driven entirely by non-whites. We also had a study that was produced last year, which showed that in Britain now, every new child, a third of them has a non-white parent, which means that a third of the children that are born in Britain now are non-white. I mean, this really does limit the amount of time we have to put a stop to this. If you think it's going to be 20 years until they are of adult age, 20 years, and a third of all the people that are 20 years old and under are going to be non-white. And, you know, that how are we going to deal with a situation when a third of the country has been replaced? You know, something is going to have to be done within the next decade. Otherwise, you know, we just might as well just be whistling down the wind, because we are not going to be able to put things right. We have to start doing things now. I don't want to panic people, but everything that you do in your life should be geared towards helping your race and helping your nation. And that can take place in, you know, that you can just do small things, like when you go to the shops, make sure that you're actually buying from white people. Make sure that if you're employing anyone to do any jobs that need doing around the house, that you just employ white people, so that the money that you have stays within your own ethnicity. Don't go to that corner shop if it's a Pakistani that runs it. Try not to go to the big supermarkets where you end up having to interact with non-whites that are on the tills. Boycott those places. Boycott places that have non-whites. And speak up about this to the people that you know, and speak up about it when you're out there in the shops as well. Now, this is one of the good things about the fact that Tommy Robinson got arrested, because he was a celebrity, because he is well known. You know, that's a subject that can be brought up just in conversation with people, and then that can lead to the fact that free speech is being done away with in this country, and that he was pointing out these crimes that the non-whites are involved in against us. You don't necessarily have to be going out there on protests. You don't necessarily have to be going out there making podcasts, but you know, you can make little changes in your life. You can move to an area that is majority white and help to ensure that it stays majority white. I mean, even if the big cities like London obviously is now 60% non-white and 40% white, that's in the situation that the whole country is going to be in 20 years. And we know what the state of London is like. So, you know, you end up just having to think, well, London has fallen. Leave London, move to an area that is still white. There are plenty of them that are in the rural areas, and then do your best to make sure that it stays white. Be honest about the reasons why you have left. I mean, one of the reasons why things have got so bad is because we have had white flight. We have had people that have left London, and it's been down to the great replacement. Only the people that have left haven't said that. They said, oh, we moved for the better schools, or, oh, we moved so that there was less crime. And they bring their liberal values to the place that they've moved to. They're not honest enough with themselves to admit that the reason why the crime has gone up, the reason why the schools are no good, is because the place is now filled with non-whites. That's what is the cause of it. So these figures that show that we're not, you know, we've got no population growth at all of our own, and that one in three births are foreign, I mean, this should really be enough to wake people up. I mean, we hear a lot in the news about how they're having to build on the green belt, and we need to build more and more houses and more housing estates. And every single one of those houses is being built for a foreigner. If we're not producing enough to replace ourselves, then why would we need any new houses? We have more than enough houses as it is for the white people that are in the country. I mean, you can drive around, you can see houses that aren't actually occupied. People squat houses in the cities. There are more than enough houses to go around for white people without having to build on any greenbelt land. We don't need any new houses. It's all just for the invader. It's for the people that are being brought in to replace us. People being brought in by the traitors that are in power. The traitors that are in power today, what they're doing, they've sent Prince William to Israel. Apparently, this is the first visit of Prince William to Israel. And what is the first thing Prince William does when he gets to Israel? He goes to the Holocaust Museum. And he sits there and he listens to two Holocausters. Apparently, they were on what they call the Kinder Transport, which was these kids that were removed from Germany to Britain at the start of the war. Now, why do they make such a fuss about this so-called Kinder Transport? I mean, we had evacuees during the war. As soon as the war came about, we moved all our children to the country. I mean, it's just a basic thing that you do. So why is it that Jewish children that were removed to the country are treated as if they're extra special people, and yet normal British children that were removed to the country, nobody ever says anything about them. Nobody says anything at all about the evacuees, and you definitely aren't going to hear anything about the German children that had to be removed from all the bombing that was going on, these bombing campaigns. I mean, we heard from Max Musson on Aryan Britannia that just in 2 weeks of the war, there was more bombs dropped on Berlin than there were on the entirety of Britain. You think of what the children had to put up with there. And these Kinder Transport children that are supposed to be so special and so sacrosanct, I mean, they missed out on all of it. They didn't have any deprivations. They didn't have to put up with any of what the rest of Europe had to put up with. They were quite safe and sound and removed away from all the fighting. So he's gone over there to see them. He's speaking to them. He's getting brainwashed by them. Obviously, this is the most important thing in the modern world, is that you believe this lie about the Holocaust, and you believe that the worst thing that ever happened on planet Earth was 6 million Jews being gassed, even though there's no actual evidence for this. There's no forensic evidence whatsoever for any Jews being gassed. There's no forensic evidence for anyone at all being gassed during the Second World War. There's no autopsy that's ever been produced, no autopsy report that says that anybody was gassed at all. It all just comes down to these lying eyewitnesses that all claim that they saw people that were gassed. So you've got eyewitnesses that that say that they saw that, and then you've got fake confessions, and we say that they are fake confessions because in the biographies of the guys that were actually getting these confessions, they say that they smashed the Germans' testicles beyond repair. I think it was about 150 of them. They smashed their testicles beyond repair. They told them that they were going to give their families to the Red Army to rape and murder. And they were going to find out even their extended family, and they would hand them over to the Red Army. And of course, if you've had your testicles smashed, and the enemy is threatening to do horrific things to your family, you're going to sign anything. You are going to sign whatever piece of paper is given to you. And some of the pieces of paper that were actually given to them, they weren't even written in German. They were written in English. One of these confessions talks about a camp that didn't even exist. And he just made up a German-sounding word, as this is the name of one of these camps that I gassed millions of Jews at. So, you know, what he was doing there was deliberately putting that in there so that in time to come, people would realize that something's not right here. So you've got people claiming that they saw people that were gassed, yet there's no actual physical proof of it. And you've got the people that supposedly confessed to doing the gassing, confessed under torture. And then you come to look for the actual evidence, and you go to look at what were supposedly the gas chambers, and you've got holes in a roof, and apparently the Germans just used to throw these cyanide pellets in through holes in the roof, and all these Jews that were underneath these holes, they would just all keel over and die. Well, that's complete nonsense. You can't just throw cyanide pellets in onto the floor, and that gases everybody. It doesn't work. Doesn't work like that. You need to heat the pellets up. And of course, people have gone there to this room with these holes in the roof, and the holes were put in the roof after the war. They were put there by the Soviets. People have actually gone to these gas chambers. Fred Leuchter is a particularly famous one, and have tested the walls, and they've he scraped the walls down and took samples, and he took of this gas chamber, and he also scraped the walls down and took samples of the delousing chamber, which was just for clothes. It was like a much smaller room. You couldn't really fit people in it, and that was for delousing clothes with, which is what cyanide is actually for. And of course, he found that in the supposed gas chamber, there were no higher levels of cyanide than you would get in your own home at home, in your own living room. And yet in the delousing chamber, in the machine that was for delousing clothes, the walls were blue with cyanide in there, which is how you would expect to find an actual gas chamber, if a gas chamber had been used. So the actual evidence of the place, the physical evidence, what was left behind, shows that nobody was gassed. The people that supposedly confessed to it were tortured. There have been no bodies found, no autopsies done on any bodies, no forensic evidence. So what you are left with is these supposed eyewitnesses. And some of these eyewitnesses have actually been put on the stand. They were put on the stand on the Zundel trial. Arne Zundel, God rest his soul, when he was being taken to court for publishing Dig 6 Million Really Die, they were able to get some of these supposed eyewitnesses on the stand. And it was shown that their eyewitness testimony was just made up. A lot of it was just fantasy. And the rest of it was based on what they had heard from other people. Because what they had heard in the camps, of course, there were lots of rumours that were going around in the camps. And people were saying, oh, the Germans are gassing people. You know, old so-and-so that you heard was moved to another prison camp. Well, actually, he was gassed, and they've got a secret gas chamber. And this rumour went around the camps. And it was known that these rumours were going around the camps. There's reports of it. There are British reports that these rumours were going around, and the Germans were trying to stop them. And at the end of the war, they thought, well, why don't we just continue with this? Years ago, in the First World War, there were atrocity stories about Germans, bayoneting Allied babies. And it was acknowledged at the end of the war that these stories about the Germans being these barbaric beasts were just not true. It was just wartime propaganda. And that's what the origin of the gas chambers was. It was just wartime propaganda that they continued with after the war, because they were so desperate to go after the Germans. They were terrified that the Germans would become National Socialists again after the war, because they knew that life had been so much better for every single class of German. Life was so much better. So they knew that they had to do something extra special to prevent the Germans from becoming National Socialists again. So what they had to do was show that atrocities had taken place, that these wonderful people that had made their life so much better were killing all these Jews at the same time as doing it. And it wasn't just the Nuremberg trials that they used to try and prove this. They also put on atrocity sideshows in the camps, and they would get all the Germans to come along to one of the concentration camps, and they'd have it all set out already with lampshades with human skin on them and shrunken heads that they'd taken from the local museum that were actually South American heads, and things like gloves that they would say were made from Jewish skin, and they would have bits of soap there and say the Germans were making Jewish soap, and they were carrying out all these awful experiments. And a lot of the Germans were far too clever to fall for that, but some of them did. And the way that they really got to the Germans was through the children, because they got rid of all the teachers, all the people that had been teaching. They said, no, you can't teach anymore because you were teaching for the National Socialist regime. So they got rid of all the teachers and they put in all communist ones and brainwashed the kids. Because if you want to take over a nation, it's the kids that you need to go for. This is what these Jews have worked out. This, you know, after the war, just to take it aside from what was going on in Germany, they went after the youth in America with rock and roll and free love and sex and drugs. And it was all just to get hold of the kids and get them to rebel against their parents. And this is what went on with the denazification in Germany. So even though you had adult Germans that knew very well that they were being lied to, the children didn't know that they were being lied to. And those children soon became adults. And this is why Germany has got, has this guilt that is the reason why Angela Merkel opened up the borders and allowed the country to be flooded, and why you have Germans that are happy to see that their country is being flooded with non-whites, and to a lesser extent, I mean, this is the reason why, one of the reasons why white people, a lot of white people think that it's a great thing that we're being blended out. They think it's wonderful that we're going to be going extinct. They think it's great that when they see a white woman with a Negro, because they think, oh, well, that's going to be the end of racism. And white people are so evil and wicked. We gassed 6 million Jews. We enslaved all the Negroes and we took the noble red Indians' land. And this is the brainwashing that people have gone through, which is all lies. We should be proud of what we did, proud of what was achieved, the National Socialists, what they achieved. They had a perfect society. They were the first to come out with the welfare produced by the government. They were the first to come out with laws to protect the worker. They did away with usury. They did away with the banking system. Life was so much better for the Germans. If you look at this accusation that we are the ones that enslaved Negroes, we never enslaved the Negroes. The Negroes enslaved the other Negroes. What we did was we did away with slavery. It was the white man that stopped slavery, because the Negro had always sold other Negroes into slavery. That was their economy for thousands of years. That was the way that the Arab world worked. They went into Africa. They got Negro slaves. It was just the way that things were done. And it was the white man that put a stop to the Negro slavery. And if you look at the accusation that, oh, well, the white man stole all the land from the noble red Indian and pushed him off the land. Well, no, the white man went over there. He tried to live on site alongside the red Indian, but the red Indian kept stealing from the white man and making war against him. So we ended up having war with them. Normally in a war, at the end of the war, the winner either kills the other side or he makes slaves out of the other side. We won the war, fair and square. We won the land. Did we exterminate all the Red Indians and turn them into slaves? No, we didn't. We gave them reservations. We said, you can live on the land. You can share the land with us. You can even have your own laws. And the problems that the Red Indians have today are just the normal problems that you get with non-whites. They have a lower IQ. They don't have the drive to produce and work in the same way that we do, which is why they've never had any civilizations. And of course, they're going to be fall to the temptation to drink. So you have a lot of drink problems there. You can look at Australia. You can say, oh, well, look at how terrible the white man treated the Aborigines in Australia. Well, no, he didn't. Look at it. Just take a look at Australia. There was absolutely nothing there. It was an impossible climate when we first went there. And what we've done, we've built a civilization there, and it's only in a tiny percentage of the surface of Australia. An absolutely tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of Australia has been turned into livable land by the white man. And the Aborigine has all the rest of it. I mean, it must be, what, 95% of Australia is uncivilized and unbuilt up. And the Aborigine can have all of that, and the white man can have his bit that he actually built up. You know, you get these accusations that the white man is just the same as any other immigrant, but we're not. We build civilization where we go. We turn whatever the land is that we've gone to, and we improve it, and we make it much better than it ever was before. Prince William, who's supposed to be the king in waiting of England, who's supposed to be standing up for the British people, he's not standing up for the British people, because he's just going along with these lies. He's going along with the lies that he's being told about this hollow hoax. He's paying his respects to these kinder transport people. He's paying his respects to the hollow hoaxes. And really, you should be saying, well, hang on a minute. Why aren't I paying my respects to the evacuees, the white British evacuees. Why aren't I paying my respects to all the Germans that were killed in the war, all the German children that were removed? Why is it that he has to bow down before these Jews? And he should really look into his history and see that, I forget which king it was, it may have actually been King George, the one that ended up having to abdicate because he wanted to marry an American divorcee. He should really look at the history of his family, and he would see that that particular king thought National Socialism was very good indeed. And he supported Adolf Hitler, and he supported Adolf Hitler because he was doing what's best for his people. And our royals, if we could charge them with treason, then we really should, because they are not doing what is best for white people anymore. They're not doing what's best for the British people. They are actively helping and engaging in replacing us with non-whites, as we can see by the European population growth and the changes in that. And the people that are speaking up about it, again, this is something else that's in the news. The people that are being speaking up about it are being silenced. And the latest group to get silenced is Generation Identity. Right the way across Europe, Facebook has removed all their pages. And they've got groups in Austria, Britain, France, all over the place. Every one of their pages has been removed, and Facebook is saying, oh, it's because they're linked with violence and hate speech, the extreme violence, they're extremists. And yet Generation Identity have not been involved in any violence at all. They don't advocate violence. They come out with some pretty clever stunts that grab attention, but they're certainly not involved in any violence. They don't advocate violence. And what it is that the politicians are terrified that we are waking up. So they want to silence those of us who have woken up and prevent us from speaking to anybody else. And we've got another bit of good news today as well. Trump's travel ban in America has finally passed. Finally. I mean, how long has it been since he tried to ban Muslims from coming into the United States? It must be a year and a half ago, something like that. And that's how long it has taken him to actually get this bill passed. So looking at that, you can have a bit of understanding for the man that, he is having problems trying to get through all these promises that he did make to us, especially with the wall. If you think it's taken him a year and a half to get his Muslim ban through, then we shouldn't be surprised if it takes him 2 years to actually get the wall started. What it does show is that, the will is there to actually follow through with his promises, but it's the rest of the state that is causing the problems. And again, this shows to us that democracy is not going to solve our problems. Democracy is not a magic bullet. We are not just going to be able to vote for somebody and they are going to be able to put everything right. Voting for somebody that will help towards putting things right, well, yes, that's positive. Always vote for the nationalist candidate, but don't think once you've done that's it. I can sit back now. The politicians are going to fix everything for me, because they're not. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, it has to be through your whole life that you try to live pro-white. So that means voting for the guy that is a nationalist. That means supporting the other nationalists that are speaking up. That means supporting Tommy Robinson and Anne-Marie Waters. Even though you disagree with their politics, at least they are speaking up. At least they are exposing the Islamic problem that we have in this country and just exposing one out of the two problems. That's good enough. We haven't got anybody else in the public arena that is speaking up for us. So we need to support those that do. You need to support your troops, support the army, support the people that are defending us in other countries. Even if they are defending Zog, they're still our country's troops. And as I say, spend your money where it should be spent. Donate to other nationalists, particularly to Radio Aryan. We do require your donations, and we do have a Bitcoin wallet at the bottom of every article so that people can donate to us. We do have overheads. That brings me to the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening today and bearing with me doing a solo one live. I will be back tomorrow, hopefully with Eddie Morrison. God bless and hail victory.